Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. And thanks for joining me online also at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And if there's any programs that you've missed in the past and you want to go back and listen to them, you can find the archives at kpcg.fm, and you can find those at thetrumpet.com as well. And that goes for all of the programming here on KPCG. The supreme pinnacle of God's creative works is the creation of His very own perfect, holy, righteous character within His begotten children. God is undertaking the most challenging creative process that there is, and that is recreating that holy and righteous and perfect character in human beings. It's a very, very hard process, and it's a process that He is undertaking in the lives of those that He has begotten today with the power of His Holy Spirit. Not born yet, but begotten. And what God is creating in your life, if you're begotten, is the masterpiece of His creative powers. Oftentimes, people think of very famous paintings or sculptures, or it could be an architectural building and design that is a masterpiece. It's the greatest thing that a person did, or a musical composition, or a play, or a book. It's the masterpiece of what they were able to create. God's creating a masterpiece too. In fact, everybody that He's working with today and that He's begotten today, He is creating His holy and righteous character in them. And that's the ultimate masterpiece of His creation. And of course, that plan will be opened up to all of mankind in due time, but God is working with a few today. Let's notice this in Hebrews 2. We're going to look at a few passages today. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get that out. We can look at these passages together. The really interesting thing to notice here in God's creative process is that He can't do it by Himself when it comes to creating holy and righteous character. He can't do it just by Himself and by His own efforts. People have to cooperate. For those that God is working with, they have to cooperate with Him and take part in that creative process as well. And that's what makes this process so challenging. But it creates such a masterpiece as well. Notice this in Hebrews 2, and we'll start in verse 6. It says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, 'What is man, that you are mindful of him, or the son of man, that you visit him?'" And now this is David asking the question in Psalm 8. And so it's hearkening back to that question that David asked. Verse 7 says, "You made him a little lower than the angels," or it could read "a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands." We see that today mankind has dominion over this earth. Doesn't always use it the best way, but still there is dominion there. And we're set over this creation, over the works of God's hands. And verse 8 says, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." We don't see everything yet that God wants to give to us. Notice this quote. This is from Mr. Armstrong, and he wrote this in The Incredible Human Potential, and that's a free book at thetrumpet.com that you can request, and it will be sent to you free of charge. It's a wonderful book, very inspiring book, and it's, again, it's free at thetrumpet.com. You could even download it and read it from your device, whatever you choose, but getting the book is a great way to do it as well. Mr. Armstrong writes, "Is it possible God could mean what he says? All things, nothing excluded?" It sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? He continues, "In the first chapter, the Moffat translation of the Bible renders the Greek word translated all things as the universe. In other words," he continues, "for those willing to believe what God says," and that's the challenge, isn't it? Believing what God says. He says that he has decreed the entire universe, with all its galaxies, its countless suns and planets, everything, will be put under man's subjection. He says, but wait a moment. Before you disbelieve, because again, doesn't that seem pretty incredible? It does. But he says, before you disbelieve, read the next words in the same eighth verse. But now we see not yet all things, the endless universe, put under him or man. He says, remember, verse 5, this is speaking of the world to come, not today's world. But what do we see now today? And then he quotes verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, or a little while lower, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Man, other than Christ, is not yet crowned with glory and honor. But see how Christ is already crowned with glory and honor. Continue, and then he reads verses 10 through 11 here, or quotes them. For it became him for whom are all things, the entire universe, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for which cause he, Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren. So we see a picture here. We see a forerunner. We see our example, the one that went before us, Jesus Christ, lived on this earth as a human man. He died. And now he's crowned with glory and honor. And you notice there, as we read, it's to make many sons, bring many sons onto glory. Christ is the captain of our salvation. He led the way. He made the path. He did it first, and he did it perfectly. But he did it so that many sons could be brought to glory. It's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? We see an example of what Christ did for us. And in the world to come, when Christ returns, then he opens up this family plan to all of mankind. People will have a chance to know God, to learn about God, have their minds open to the truth of God, and develop the character of God, and ultimately be born into the family of God. Christians having God's Spirit are joint heirs with Christ to inherit all that Christ already has inherited, and he is now in glory. So we see that example, and that's the example that we look to. Christ already went through the process, and we're going through a similar process today. If we've been called and if we are begotten by the power of God's Spirit. And again, eventually that's going to be every human being that's ever lived. They'll have that opportunity, but God works with first fruits today. Perfect character must be developed over time. It takes time. We have a time span in this life. The Bible says about 70 years, some cases 80, some cases a little bit more. But, and in some cases it's shorter too, but we're just talking about general lifespans. It takes time to create the character of God. We have to make choices. Free choice to follow God's direction. And that's our part in the creative process. We have to make a choice. Will we follow God and his direction and his law? Or like Adam and Eve, do we choose to go a different direction? Our own way, which really is Satan's way. That's the choice that we all have to make in this life. And that's what God is working with each of us on, those of us that are begotten today, working with us and giving us opportunities to make choices. And then using the power of God's Spirit, we need to make the right choice. And as we make the right choice, we build the character of God. But that's our part in the process. We have to choose. God's making a masterpiece in everybody that he's working with. But our part in it is that we have to make the right choices. We have to let God mold us and shape us as he wants to. And so it's a really unique creative process. And it's the one thing that God's creating that he can't just simply make by his own power. It takes our choice as well. And then, of course, God's power is absolutely necessary in the process, but we have to choose to let God direct us and lead us. We need God's Spirit. It is impossible to please God without God's Spirit. It takes God's Spirit to build the character of God within us. So Without that, there's no way we can build God's character. We need God's spirit. God's character doesn't come from within a human heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as it says in Jeremiah. But it comes from us choosing to take on the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians 2. Take on the mind of Christ, let God's spirit work in us. And that's our choice, and that's what we have to be working with. It takes God's spirit to build the character of God within us. We have to use the spirit to direct our thoughts and actions. I mean, you know that every day you have a series of thoughts, you have a series of actions that you take or don't take, and every day we have this test that's before us. Even if we're out of school, we still get tested. Can you believe it? Every day we really go through tests of some kind. We have to make choices. Sometimes they're very serious choices. They're very big tests. And other times they seem more routine. But they're all important. These experiences are all important. And the decisions that we make are important. Even though in the moment, sometimes they don't seem as important. But when we look at what they're building towards, which is the development of God's character, which ultimately leads to us being born into the kingdom and family of God, having rule over the entire universe. Well, these choices are pretty big, aren't they? Even though they can seem a little bit smaller in the moment, but they have eternal consequences. And that's why what we do every day is so important. The righteous character of God comes only from God. We can't pull it out of the human heart. It comes only from God, and he must build it in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Our part in the process is to use the Spirit of God and let it direct us and lead us. But it's an amazing creative process, and it's the hardest thing that God's ever undertaken, and we have to be cooperative with him in it. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, and you can get it there, recommend that you do that and sign up for it. It's a great course, and it walks you through just so many wonderful areas of God's truth, and it's free at thetrumpet.com. But it writes this, "Perfect, holy, and righteous character is the ability of a separate entity with mind and independent free choice to come to discern the true and right give way of God from Satan's wrong way of get, to make voluntarily a full and unconditional surrender to God and his perfect way, to yield to be conquered by God, to determine, even against temptation or self-desire, to live and to do the right, even in the face of severe trial and test." So there's a lot to think about in that quote there. But that's what perfect, holy, and righteous character is. It's the ability of a separate entity, in other words, you and me, human beings, with mind and independent free choice. We each have a mind. We think. We make decisions. We have to look at God's word and let God's spirit open our eyes to discern the true and right way, the give way, that's God's way, and understand that, and then also understand what Satan's wrong way of get is. And then we have to voluntarily choose to go God's way. That's our part in it. And it's hard because there's temptation. There's self-desire to go a wrong direction sometimes. And sometimes there's severe trial and test. So we have all of these challenges that come along. We can do it. We can absolutely make the right choices by using the power of God's Spirit. But it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that it's easy. If it was easy, Christ wouldn't have had to come and be killed and be sacrificed. God the Father and Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice to be able to have this creative process happening within those that God has called out of this world. And again, it includes everybody because eventually everybody will be called. So it's not an easy process. No way. But it can't be because of the tremendous reward. But just because it's not easy doesn't mean that it's not possible. It is very possible, but it's challenging, no doubt. And the thing that's so fascinating to think about in our day-to-day lives is that we are always forming character, whether it's positive or negative. You know, we can't opt out of the process. We can't say, today I don't want to make choices. I'm just going to have a neutral day and not form character one way or the other. I want to take a break. We can't do that. Every day we're forming character either positively or negatively. But that's what makes every day so valuable and so important. Every day is an awesome opportunity. It's an awesome opportunity to develop the positive character of God. And sometimes, unfortunately, people decide to walk away from God. They do know the truth, and they say, well, I want to go a different direction. This is maybe too hard for me, in their estimation. But again, we can't walk away from the character-forming process. We either are forming positive character or negative. We can't take a break or think that, well, I'll opt out of the race and just go, you know, and do something else, because ultimately, everything we do in this life develops character. And then if at the end of our life, you know, if we haven't developed the right character, then obviously we don't have a future. So it's really important to think about our day-to-day choices and the fact that we are always in this character-forming process. The Correspondence Course says that after Lucifer and one-third of the angels rebelled, the creation of these angels was finished. They became demons with evil character. Once their fateful course had been set, their creation was complete. And being immortal spirit, they can never change. So the ability for man to change is a great blessing. We have the ability to repent and to change. And of course, we have to take advantage of that and make sure we are changing and we are growing. It's a positive thing, because angels, once they've sinned, as it says, the spirit realm, their creation was complete, and they can't change back from it. So God's character is what we want, and God's character is that he will never break his law. God will never break his law. He is now in the process of creating this same godly character in spirit-begotten Christians, as they, by their own choice and with the help of God's Holy Spirit, live his righteous way of life. So that's the process there. By our own choice and with the help of God's Spirit, we have to live his righteous way of life. It's not in a human to do it of himself. We can't just be good people as we might view it. We need the Spirit of God. Our part in the process is to choose to let God direct us. We have to choose to let God work with us. And that's our part in the process. And even then, we have to go to God and ask him to help us want to make that choice and really strive to be like God. And all of it takes the power of God's Spirit. But we have to choose to use that Spirit and not quench it. Mankind has a part to play in this. We have something that we have to do when we're called. Romans 3 and verse 23 shows that all people have sinned. Jesus Christ is the only one who lived a perfect life. We've all sinned. So let's notice our part in this a little more specifically. We can see this in Acts 2, verses 37 and 38. Now, this is recording the first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came after Christ's death and resurrection. And verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this," this is the multitude of people that the apostles were speaking to, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That was a great question. They heard a message, and they realized, you know, we're wrong. We've sinned. We need to change. How do we go about this? What do we do? And notice the answer. And this is an answer and that's given to us as well. If you've ever asked yourself, what am I going to do? I know I need to make some changes. What do I do? Well, here it is. In verse 38 of Acts 2, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, we need God's Holy Spirit, and we have to repent and be forgiven and then receive the Spirit of God and use that Spirit to follow God's way and to live as God lives, developing his holy and righteous character. The Correspondence Course says, "Finally, at the resurrection to eternal life, when God's Spirit-begotten children are born, the supreme masterpiece of God's creation, the supreme masterpiece of God's creation, will have been finished. Those whom God has called and who have voluntarily chosen to work with their Creator in completing his supreme creation within them while flesh and blood will at last be a finished creation." See, we're not finished yet, are we? We're still in the process, but God's making a masterpiece in each of us. will be created, it says, in God's own spiritual image with his perfect, righteous, holy character, eternal members of his divine ruling family who cannot sin. What a great condition to be in, right? What a great way to be where we just can't sin anymore. It's not in our character to do it. We all long for that day. We don't want sin or the negative, you know, results of it. But how exciting. It's interesting to think about God's creating this masterpiece in each of the people that he's working with. And when we look at society today, there's a lot of attention and honor put on young people, the youth. And that's sort of the pinnacle of society, it seems like, where when a person gets to be a certain age and get to be a little older, they don't seem to have much use to society anymore. You know, it's mostly the teenagers or the 20-somethings. That's what people are excited about. And people can feel like as they get older, you know, the best days have passed them by. And what's the point? Because they're not going to be physically young again. But when we see it from God's perspective, we understand that the most important work continues no matter what age. It's God creating this masterpiece. And as a person gets older and they have all of these different experiences in life and some tests and trials too, you know, God can really, really speed up that creative process. You know, what is the value in a person that's can't do a lot physically anymore? Well, God's still creating in them. He's creating his character. He's working with their minds. The creative process is going on, even though society looks to, you know, the physically young. Well, God's creative process goes and goes and goes. So there's value to every single day that a person has if they're letting God work in them and, of course, are called and are using God's Spirit. That creative process continues. So the society has it backwards, of course, and we know this is Satan's world. They want to look at the physical, but they're not seeing the real masterpiece that's being created in each person that God's worked with and is working with. And so that's what our perspective needs to be. And of course, the Bible talks a lot about giving honor to those that are older because of their experience. Society just doesn't do that today, at least not in the West. But there is great value in every single day of a person's life when God is working in them and building this masterpiece in them. As we grow in God's character, we should be developing a positive view of God's law. Have a positive view of God's law. Society just doesn't view law in a very positive way. And as the Bible says in Romans, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It can't be. It doesn't like it. It doesn't like the law. But as you can read in Psalm 119 and other places, you know, there's a love for God's law that David had, that Jeremiah had, that these other great men of God had and developed. They loved God's law because it was so beneficial. It was a lamp to their feet. And it lighted the path that they were traveling, the right path, the correct path, to this masterpiece, to this ultimate creation that God is working on in each of us. In the Chronicles booklet, which is also free at thetrumpet.com, here's a quote that Trumpet Editor-in-Chief, Mr. Gerald Fleury, wrote. He said, "We need to understand how positive and how precious the law of God is." And then he quotes Proverbs 29 and verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." We have to stop and think about that. You know, we want to be happy, of course, and everybody likes being happy. Well, there's a way to do it, and it's keeping the law. Happy is he that keeps the law. But yet, Satan broadcasts the opposite. People don't like the law. They want to cast off the law, thinking that will make them happy, but it does not. Mr. Fleury continues and says, "This whole world is about to keep God's law, and it will make people happy." People are going to be happy, and at first Christ is going to have to force people to be happy. He's going to have to force them to keep the law, and then they'll see, this actually does make me happy. And it's a hard thing to wrap our minds around sometimes because the entire world, all of society, and again, Satan's a god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, goes the other direction. It goes away from law, and it paints law as a negative, as a restraint. But really, sin is the restraint. God's law restrains us from hurting ourselves, but sin casts off the law and breaks the law, and then the penalty of breaking the law comes full force on people. There's plenty of examples of that, unfortunately. We've probably all experienced a few of those ourselves. Mr. Fleury continues and says, Ezra did not just try to give a good balance in Chronicles. You can get the balance by reading Kings and Samuel. He's talking about the history of Judah and some of Israel. He wanted to give people a very positive outlook and really get their minds on building and raising the ruins. Positive outlook. He wanted them to focus on Jerusalem and why God brought them back to Judah. He wanted to show them that it is through the law that we solve our problems and become unified and joyful. It's through the law that we do that. Through the law, the Ten Commandments, and of course there's statutes and judgments as well. That's how we become unified. That's how we become joyful. We all follow that law. That's how God builds that masterpiece, that ultimate creation, his greatest creation in each of us. It's through that law. It's an amazing, amazing law, and we have to have a positive view of it and see what God is creating in us as we use God's Spirit to follow that law. Learning to obey God has tests and trials. Of course, it does. That's part of life, and we have to embrace those. But it is overwhelmingly a joyful experience to let God work in us. Of course, there are tests and trials, but there's a lot more joy, even in this life. And then, of course, in eternal life, there's unending joy. So if we find ourselves discouraged or negative, which I think we all can have that happen sometimes, we have to really look to see where we are breaking God's law so we can change and have joy and prosperity. We don't want to look into the law of God and see where we're wrong and just be depressed by it or be negative about it. We have to change. And so that's such a positive thing because we can see how to improve and how to do a better job. And how to begin to be happy and joyful and prosperous. God wants that for everybody. He's making this masterpiece of creation in us. And so that's a joyful and a wonderful experience. Our job, our part in that, is to cooperate with God, use the power of God's Spirit as he has begotten the first fruits with that Spirit. We have to use God's Spirit and cooperate with him and voluntarily strive to follow his law, and of course use the power of God's Spirit to do that. That's our part in it. Cooperate with God, let him work with us and teach us, develop us, and as he does that, every single day of our lives we'll be forming more and more of that character of God, and every day becoming more and more of that masterpiece that God is creating in each one of us. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. If you have any comments or questions, you can email those to comments@kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, and until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.